Instead of securing the border, instead of encouraging businesses to invest in America, instead of literally putting America first, the Biden administration is opening our border and pushing U.S. businesses to send their money, their investments abroad. And they're doing it all right in front of us. To rub salt in the wound, Kamala Harris wants to get all the credit for it. Honestly, it's just becoming more and more insulting to the American people every single day. Hello, everyone. I'm Trish Regan. Make sure you subscribe to the show. Please go to subscribe to the channel. Give the video a thumbs up. Visit trishintel.com because I want you to sign up for my newsletter. You know that this is the news that you're not going to hear in the mainstream media. This is the news they want to suppress. But I'm here every single day fighting for our freedoms. Even when big media says you can't report on the Wuhan lab, I'm reporting on it. Anyway, this woman, our vice president, who was handed the VP thing, frankly, because let's face it, she got no votes. She got 0% of the votes in the New Hampshire primary, which is kind of a big deal. That was pretty embarrassing for her. Anyway, Kamala Harris just keeps thumbing her nose effectively at our country and at her role as vice president. Look, I'm not even talking about the moronic, self-serving beauty shot that she posted of herself telling everyone to just enjoy their long weekend. She's smiling off into the distance, a weekend that, by the way, we wouldn't have had it not been for the brave men and women who have sacrificed their lives for us. That's what Memorial Day is about. No, she never mentioned them. Anyway, I'm talking about the fact that this woman was given a job to do, a real job, right? And yet she's repeatedly refused to do it and twisted it into something else entirely. She's not cleaning up the border. She's opening it up. She's not helping to secure jobs for Americans here at home. She's trying to get companies to relocate overseas. And she may have to, given how much she and Joe want to raise taxes. 68 days and no news conference at the border or about the border since Joe Biden tapped Kamala for this crisis role. And yes, I say crisis. I say crisis because when you have the most number of people coming here in decades and upwards of 20,000 kids in federal custody on your watch, Kamala, Joe, that's a crisis, guys. Go look it up. Yet our VP seems to think this is all about connections and games and photos with important people. Kamala Harris did manage to find some time to call on American businesses to say you need to start investing dollars in Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras. I mean, it'd be nice if they would invest more dollars here. But again, those taxes are kind of a problem. And then she had that big meeting with various business leaders and she posed around the big round table telling them how she's got all these companies and organizations that will be investing in Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador, also known, by the way, as the Northern Triangle. Woohoo! Great! Great. So instead of focusing on getting money here, getting investment here at home, we're focused on globalist projects like the Northern Triangle. Excuse me? I'm sorry. Can you say America last? It's pretty bad, right? There's a reason she got 0% of the vote in New Hampshire. Speaking of voting, I want to talk about Texas for a moment because, wow, I don't know if you saw this, but there was quite a dramatic moment. The circus back in town there in Texas, Texas Democrats walking off the state house floor late on Sunday night to prevent the passage of an overhaul of state election procedures that would add a whole bunch of new rules, rules that many people believe are quite needed. But according to the Dems, No, you can't have those rules. Because if you have rules around voting, like, you know, requiring IDs, imagine that, when you vote absentee, well, then that is going to put low-income people and therefore minorities, they say, at a disadvantage. Therefore, it's racist. According to the Texas Tribune, Democrats were slowly leaving the floor throughout the night, they report. Then the remaining members of the party walked out around 10:30 p.m., and that left the state house without enough members around to have a quorum. And so Republicans were unable to pass the bill. But you know what? They're not done. Don't count the governor out there. I mean, cute little move, right, from the Dems. I get it. You don't get your way. You don't get your way. So you want to take your ball and go home. That's what they did. You know, this law is pretty interesting. And I want you to understand it because I'm trying to understand what's so offensive here. It would call for new limits on early voting. and curbside voting. In other words, you just can't just decide to vote early. They're not going to allow that. It would also prohibit round-the-clock voting centers and voting facilities and outdoor structures like parking garages. So the idea is, you know, you have to carve out time, you have to go and vote. It would eliminate straight ticket voting, something Texas voters have actually used for decades. And that's really neat because think about how many people just vote a straight ticket. It's like, I'm red or I'm blue. Wouldn't it be nice to actually see people say, okay, I'm going to vote for a candidate just as opposed to a pure party thing. I think that that would be really healthy for Texas. It limits the use of drop boxes by requiring absentee voters to hand their ballots directly to an elections official. The bill would also place new restrictions on access to absentee voters. Voters who want to vote by mail must prove that they are unable to get to the polls because of illness, injury, disability. Voters can no longer cite a lack of transportation or an inability to get out of work on election day to request an absentee ballot. And here I am saving the best for last. Voters who do qualify to vote by mail must have proof of their identity. They must provide it either through their driver's license or state-issued identification number or by disclosing the last four digits of their social security number. How's that a problem, I'd like to know? I mean, really and truly, how is that a problem? Because every time I get on a flight or go into a building in New York City, I gotta show an ID. I mean, apparently they see this as racist, but proving who you are when you're going to vote, again, when I go into a building, when I get onto a plane, heck, if you board a Greyhound bus, you gotta show an ID. So why is it that you could actually just go and vote and not show any ID? I mean, look, if the left really had its way right now, let's be honest, right? You'd be showing IDs for everything. You'd be showing your ID and proof of your vaccination just when you walk down the street on any given day. So it was a stunt. And the Governor Abbott, is promising that the legislation will be back. Like I always say, don't mess with Texas. I don't think we've heard the last of this. I want to get to this developing story that we're just getting in right now, a report about Iranian warships en route to Venezuela sparking a lot of concern. You know, we had spoken earlier in the program about Kamala Harris in Latin America, and I do want to bring this to your attention because it's developing as we speak, being reported first by Politico. The U.S. national security community is on edge right now, monitoring two Iranian naval vessels whose ultimate destination many believe may be Venezuela. This is, again, new, just coming into us via Politico. They're citing three people familiar with this situation. I'll tell you, if this is the case, it would certainly be something that would be provocative, perhaps even a little desperate, I'd say reckless on behalf of Iran. At present, my sources have told me that Iran is quite anxious to see a reinstatement of the former Obama trade agreement, including some of my sources in Iran. And they certainly want to see a relaxation of those sanctions, right, that have crippled the Iranian economy, courtesy of the Trump team. But I don't think this is the way you want to go about it, guys, right? I mean, to send a vessel or two to Venezuela. That's not necessarily going to go over so well with the Biden administration. Keep in mind, Iran has been getting very cozy with Venezuela in recent years. This is not good for Venezuela either, because Venezuela has an opportunity maybe to work out something. Juan Guaido, who is seen by the United States as the rightful president there of Venezuela, is certainly well respected by both parties. So there's a bipartisan effort to really bring democracy there to Venezuela. And Nicolas Maduro, however, is still hanging on tight, trying to run that country, which is just a socialist disaster. Honestly, if you want to go anywhere in the world and find exactly how to ruin an economy in 20 years, you go straight to Venezuela. In recent years, I should point out that the two countries, that is Iran and Venezuela, they've been dealing with these significant sanctions on each of their countries. And so increasingly, they're starting to turn to each other. They've also turned to China. They've turned to Russia. And so you got like a coalition of bad guys, you know, that are all hanging out. And the idea that somehow there would be Iranian vessels on the way, that would be kind of a problem. I would say Nicolas Maduro has kept some interesting company. Venezuela may also, in this case, and Nicolas Maduro, be trying to send a message to the U.S. because they've been hoping to see a relaxation of those sanctions. They want to get the oil companies that they kicked out back into the Orinoco region there. Good luck, because I don't know anybody that would really and truly trust the Venezuelan situation right now. But, you know, hey, given that Kamala's looking to invest in the Northern Triangle, maybe she can squeeze a little investment for Venezuela in there somehow, some way. Maybe Venezuela's feeling left out. They're like, hey, Kamala, over here, over here. Look, the problem is obvious. We cannot have Iranian warships in our backyard. You know, there's this little thing called the Monroe Doctrine. So it would represent a direct challenge to U.S. authority in the region, and it would likely inflame the whole debate in Washington, D.C. over President Biden's decision to reopen negotiations with Tehran. So bad for Iran, bad for Venezuela, bad for us. Why do they just do such dumb things, right? Dumb, dumb move by Iran. And I'll tell you, even dumber move by Venezuela if they're thinking about keeping them there. All right, everyone, don't forget to go to trishintel.com. Make sure you sign up for my newsletter. I look forward to talking to you and seeing you on the site. Make sure that you also check out my brand new store. We're talking Live Free or Die here. You can get the cups there at trishregan.store. And I'll see you right back here live tomorrow. Live Free or Die. Until then.